Chapter 6. I give, you take. Anastasia opened her mouth, taking in more of the smells around her. The air carried a blended fragrance of wet wood, grass, and pollen. The wind blew from the west, but it didn't warm her. It could never warm her. Her nose picked up the scent of buds and flowers beginning to bloom, like they always did, signaling the onset of spring. The smells stuck to the back of her throat, and it mingled with the scent of humans around her, making her feel somewhat nauseated and dizzy. She slowly walked down the street, with her eyes on a newly remodeled house, surrounded by a white, 6-foot wooden fence. All the information she'd gathered during her night's prowling led her here. The home was supposed to be a sanctuary, hidden among the middle-class human homes. But what she smelled and witnessed proved otherwise. She saw the outline of a man carrying a box in his hands as he walked toward the living room. Another figure of a woman carrying a pot of food to the kitchen appeared behind him. In the upstairs bedroom window, she saw the outline of a little human girl who looked no older than 13 years of age. For once, her information had led her to the wrong place. A feeling of hunger grew inside her, boiling and making her body feel unusually warm. However, she wouldn't and couldn't feed. Not now, and not on these humans. This worry turned into sadness and forgiveness, feelings that were supposed to be foreign to her. The little girl managed to somehow expose what Anastasia wanted to hide. She reminded her of another girl Anastasia had the pleasure of running into only a month ago. She invaded the human girl's life by killing her parents, and those vivid images of their deaths played over and over in Anastasia's memory, like a bygone movie. It was at the family outing, a camping trip in northern Minnesota. When the sun set in the sky, arranging the heavens in commingled colors of reds, oranges, and purples, Anastasia remembered waking up from her temporary burrow underneath a pile of rotted wooden logs. She'd been chasing a Demon couple, supporters of Kai. But when Anastasia awakened, her rabid mind thought nothing but food. She remembered dirt clotting each and every strand of her dark hair as she took her first steps of the night in a puddle of dirty water, and she remembered the cold liquid elevating her body, reminding her of what she really was. She crawled from her hole, and her keen sense of smell picked up on 2 human adults and a child half a mile away. She ran toward the scent, depending on the moonlight overhead to lighten the darkest parts of her trail. Twigs snapped from her weight, branches slapped her across her forehead and her face. Nearby deer scurried away from her, including a black bear that growled and turned the other way. Their smell became stronger, and it mixed in with the smell of sizzling meat, spices, and marshmallows. In the distance, the moon reflected on the lake's dark surface. She stopped shortly before the clearing, watching a man and a woman sitting around an open campfire. Near the lake's edge, a little girl sat, immersed in playing in the waterlogged sand. Anastasia lowered her body, her mind concentrated, her peripheral taking notice of the lightning bugs around her and the bats that flew overhead. She remembered the sound of the girl's feet in the wet sand as she ran back to her parents. Together they gazed at the twinkling stars in the clear sky, and with her father's help, she located the Little Dipper. Scouring her victims like a hyena on the prowl, Anastasia snarled, and she licked her lips every so often. Soon the family retreated to their tent, and the campfire withered to sizzling embers. The night ended with a falling star disappearing as fast as it appeared in the horizon, and a satellite whisking across the sky. Then Anastasia slithered from the darkness, and targeting the adults first, she ripped their throats out. She found the little girl cowering under her covers. She grabbed the girl's ankle and pulled her out. The girl's cries echoed through the trees. Her hazel eyes filled to the brim with tears, and her face grew red with every wail. A whimpering plea came from her father, who lay next to the shredded body of her mother, her lifeless eyes staring up at the sky. Before he gurgled another word, Anastasia bit into his neck, draining the remaining blood from his limp body. She then tossed him into the lake and returned her attention to the girl, so juicy and so ripe. Anastasia remembered the blood dripping from the tips of her pointed canines, the smell of sweet scented soap and river water exuded from the girl's soft hair and smooth skin. But something else also struck her. The girl's thoughts weren't those of a young child, but those of a matured little girl. The little girl had mentally prepared herself to die. Not once in her inhumane existence had any girl that age known and accepted that her death was near. Anastasia didn't discriminate, nor did she feel anything for any of her human victims. But this little girl, she wasn't like them. Her thoughts floated and they were pleasing to read. The little girl felt so much different that Anastasia began to question her actions, her existence. This little angel, this delicate petal, became someone that Anastasia wanted and needed to protect. She carried the girl, now silenced, to the nearest gas station, dropping her off on the front steps. Before leaving the little girl, she opened her mouth to speak, but only her lips moved. Sorry wasn't enough. It would never be enough. It was only coincidental that the girl in the bedroom of the home reminded Anastasia of the event. Things changed since that night. From every night after, Anastasia thought twice about what humans she killed. She still followed Lucius's orders, destroying sanctuaries and slaughtering humans. But no longer did she want to be responsible for the death of an innocent. She watched her victims, only choosing who she deemed not important to live. Children and adults with families left her menu, replaced by drug dealers, criminals, and minions. But she still scrutinized her own, regardless if they happened to be adults or children. Demon didn't deserve another chance, not even her. A male shadowy figure climbed the steps and appeared in the girl's bedroom window. Before she could make out what they were doing, the odor of spring forthcoming found itself replaced with the familiar scent of a demon. She quickly spun around. "What are you doing?" Remy stepped from behind a tall oak tree. He smiled and showed off his cocky demeanor by licking his thin lips repeatedly and standing in her path. She didn't have time for him or for this. She walked around him and continued down the street. "Well, hello to you too." He followed her. "Go away." She continued to walk. His presence irritated her like always. He placed his hands in the pockets of his short black jacket, and he increased his stride, reaching her before she turned the corner. "No." He again stood in her path. Their eyes met, and a tense-filled quietness overcame the mild spring air around them. "That stint you pulled at the manor, stabbing me. You know, that actually hurt, but I forgive you." "It was meant to hurt." "Well, since you're feeling all remorseful, I thought I'd let you know that I killed a college student along the way so I could heal." He rubbed his stomach. "Her death is on your hands." His comment moved her to quickly look at him. "I don't care who you eat." His eyes glanced toward the home and back at Anastasia. "So you wouldn't mind if I ate her?" Anastasia ignored him. The very sound of his voice made her feel disgusted, and all she wanted to do was to silence it once and for all. They had nothing in common besides being demon. She didn't like him, and like many other demon, she wanted to kill him just to silence his snarky comments and annoying remarks. She let him get away with things that, in her past, she would have reacted too quickly. Remy tilted his head to the sky, taking in any scent that he could in the air. "Well, the girl definitely isn't a demon. Who is she?" Anastasia didn't answer. Telling him how she truly felt about killing humans was more than enough to make Remy bombard her with stupid questions. Even now, he questioned why she followed Lucius's orders, slaughtering minions and any demons she found in the sanctuaries. He didn't understand why she spent most of her time at night in those decrepit places. Sometimes she didn't understand it either.
"It's none of your business, Lamia."
He tilted his head back in laughter. "You might be fooling everyone else, Anna, but you aren't fooling me." His eyes protruded. What you're feeling now, that little guilt trip, humans call it remorse. Ridiculous. We don't feel anything. We can't. And the lies just keep on coming. She abruptly stopped walking. And yet here you are, spying on Veronica, trying to seduce her to make her like you. You know that she won't stoop so low. I'm not denying my agenda, dear Anna. Are you denying yours?
Hardly. I know what I am.
Ah, yes. I know you now. A Ramanga who came to Minneapolis to avenge Lucius. A Ramanga who now watches and protects. Tell me, what would your enemies think if they saw how you now act around humans? What would your enemies do if they found you? The little information Anastasia had about Remy was based on suspicion. She remembered the day he arrived at Blind Bluff Manor, secretly and only willing to speak to Nathan. What and who he ran from he didn't reveal, which didn't bother Nathan as much as it bothered Anastasia. He held his breath, then said, "Unlike you, I don't have a reputation to uphold." He cocked his head to the side. "And I don't mind relying on acquaintances for assistance." Her movement was quick, giving him little time to react. She reached out and with her left hand gripped his throat and lifted him up onto his toes. Her eyes had turned black, filled with the uncontrollable rage that made her a Ramanga. She began to squeeze, waiting for the moment that she'd hear the crunch of his neck snapping into tiny pieces. It would cause damage, but not enough to put him out of his misery. Instead, Remy released a choked laughter. His comment wasn't directed at her, but at her actions in the previous months, particularly the night she'd slain Branda and her sister Brandy. Both of them Ramanga she'd sired centuries ago to save Veronica's life. Her thoughts reverberated back to them and other demon in her past that she sired and tried to kill as well. There wasn't any mistake. She would do it again, in a heartbeat, if she had one. She sensed this from Remy's thoughts, and she released her grip and stepped back. He rubbed the noticeable indentation ring around his neck. Instead of retaliating, he resumed his mockery. "See," he pointed at her. "If you were the Anastasia of the past, you would have killed me without hesitating. Why stop yourself?" "Because killing you won't solve anything." "But it'd feel really good," Remy preached. "You are a demon. It's what we do. We kill, we cripple, we ravage. We don't stay outside the homes of humans, feeling for them because we act out in our nature." Anastasia snarled and took a step forward. She slowly opened her mouth and her tongue slowly swirled across her transforming canines. "That ferociousness that I sense inside you, that's the Anastasia I know. It tingles, doesn't it? The sensation excites you. Well, it excites me." He wrapped his arms around her waist, pulling her in closer to him. "You know you want me." His chest pressed against hers and she felt the cold, hard steel of his nipple rings against her breasts. "Come on, Anna, you know you want to take me." He slightly opened his mouth and she felt the feral pressure of their bodies touching. "You want to incapacitate me?" "No, I don't." Remy let out a short chuckle. "Are you a vegetarian demon now?" Anastasia pushed, but he pushed back, quickly pressing his lips against hers. She felt pressure tingling from her mouth down to her stomach, and she jerked. He slowly began to feed, sucking the essence from her body. Everything around her, from the sidewalk to the trees, to the musty smell seeping from the driver of a taxi, slowly driving past them, to the suburban houses lining the street, melted away. Anastasia felt her legs wobbling underneath her. If he didn't stop, he'd kill her along with himself. She had to make him stop, and fast. But Remy pulled back, grabbing just enough of her life force to stun them both for a few seconds. "I wish we demon could feed off each other." He held his head back in his woozy state. "I love this feeling." His breath, now warm and not bitterly cold, slightly touched her cheek. "You're a killer, Anastasia." He slid his rejuvenated hands up the side of her body to her face. He leaned into her again, his lips locking onto hers. She pushed hard on his shoulders, but she felt her body slowly arching back. Remy hummed in ecstasy, but a small pinch on his lower lip silenced his joy. He rolled his head back and felt blood trickling down to the back of his throat. He pulled back immediately, staring into her black voided eyes and sharp fangs. Interesting. He glazed his tongue over his wound, tasting the salty iron flavor. See, I knew you could do it. She lunged at him, striking her hands into his chest. He flew backwards, landing on top of a bed of sharp twigs and undergrowth. Blood streamed from the deep wound on his lip. That wasn't so hard. He stood up and wiped the dirt from his clothes. I give, you take. You give, I take. He swiped away the blood from his mouth with the back of his hand. Enough. Why are you here? Remy's lips curled, forming a smile. Kai. Anastasia turned away from him. She didn't have to ask Remy why. She already knew Veronica accepted his help back at the manor. You think finding Kai will get you closer to Veronica? That, or close enough to get in her pants, Remy shrugged. Whatever works. Lucius won't let you. Let me worry about that. He approached her. By the way, do you know where I can find him? No, Anastasia quickly replied. I'm not looking for him. We're talking about the same Lucius, the demon you'd follow until the ends of the earth, right? I haven't spoken to him in weeks, you know that. He placed his hand on her shoulder. Oh, come on, Anna. I know you know more than that. Lucius will kill you if he finds out what you're trying to do. Why do you care? If he does, I'll be out of your hair and you'll be the only demon in Blind Bluff Manor. Well, besides Hallie, but she doesn't count. Anastasia had had enough. She readied herself for her swift trip into the city. Hopefully, while she travelled in demon speed, she would lose him along the way. Warm air brushed against her cheek, and suddenly, she found Remy unexpectedly standing in front of her. Annoyed, Anastasia leaned to the side. In the past, she would have never allowed any demon to continue their utterance for this long. Maybe Remy was right. Maybe she was losing her touch. She retracted her teeth and closed her eyes, giving them time to revert back to their normal shade of brown. As much as I like to get under your skin, I didn't come here for that. He stepped in closer to her, and Anastasia could feel the air tense. You're weak, Anna. I don't like seeing you this way. You need to feed. At that moment, she felt her legs wobble underneath her, but she caught herself. Remy had taken a little too much of her energy. He was right. She needed to feed before taking demon speed again. He placed his arms around her shoulder. There's an outside art exhibit near the Mississippi River, victims for days. No, she pushed his arm away. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. He dropped his arm. Fasting now? You're wasting my time. She looked over her shoulder, giving him the evil eye. He shrugged and stepped back. What else is there to do around here? Anastasia gathered her strength, but again her legs failed her. She leaned against a nearby tree, trying to gather what strength she had left. Here, I'll help. He wiped his hands on his black pants and he looked up. Suddenly, he climbed in demon speed up the tree, grabbing a squirrel by its throat. I'm afraid that all this tree has to offer is squirrel. He softly landed next to her. With a quick flick of his wrist, he broke the animal's neck and tossed the carcass to Anastasia. Eat up! You need your strength if you want to out-demon run me. She caught the squirrel and she stared at its lifeless body. She didn't want to admit it, but Remy was right. The last time she had human blood was at the sanctuary a few days ago, and even then, it wasn't enough to satisfy her. She was running out of minions and criminals to eat. Drink up, he said in a sly tone. Or do you not like squirrel? She hesitated. Well, if squirrel doesn't suit your taste, how about some younger, sweeter blood? His eyes drifted back to the White House. I'll end you if you harm anyone in there. Whoa, calm down. He held his hands up in defense. I was just making a suggestion. She lifted the squirrel to her mouth. She felt her sharp canines drop and she bit into the animal's side, crushing its bones. The warm blood flowed into her mouth and down her throat. As she continued to drink, she felt the blood being absorbed throughout her body. So, back to Kai. She dropped the empty cadaver and wiped the corners of her mouth with her eyes still centered on Remy. Lucius and Celine have been searching for this inbred since the day Lucius slaughtered his followers, he said. But I'm not really comfortable not knowing why they haven't found him already. She looked down the street. Before she wanted to know everything there was to know about Kai, his whereabouts, his sanctuaries, his followers. Now she didn't care because Lucius told her not to. Eventually, they'd find him and make him pay for his crimes. Doesn't it intrigue you that both of them can't find one simple young demon by now? His question was worth acknowledging, but she didn't know the answer. At that time, she wanted to join them in the search for Kai, but Lucius had forbidden it. It did make her a little suspicious that Kai was still out there somewhere. But she knew how Remy worked. He loved to twist the truth. I don't know where he is, but maybe someone else does, Anastasia replied. Who? I'm not telling you! She gathered her strength again and she started to move, increasing her speed until the objects around her began to melt together. She ran as fast as her demon legs could carry her, swerving around cars and people, crossing streets, yards and empty parking lots. She didn't know where she was going. Not yet, anyway. But anywhere away from Remy would suffice. But she heard his steps behind her, followed by his annoying chuckle. He too travelled as fast as he could in demon speed, and he kept enough distance so that he wouldn't lose her in his sight. She abruptly stopped in an empty parking lot near downtown Minneapolis. Seconds later, Remy appeared in front of her. That was fun. He swiped the few wild strands of his brown hair from his face. Anastasia turned away from him and continued to walk. So, this someone else. Do they know where I can find Kai? Remy followed her. If you want to know about Kai, why don't you go to the one person who keeps track of our kind in the city? Celine, Remy repeated with uncertainty. She hates me more than she hates you. Not Celine, you idiot. She looked to the distance, seeing the tall buildings that made up the downtown area. Their tops were brightened with lights, glowing in a darkened hue. Lambert. Lambert. Yes. Anastasia continued to walk down the street. He knew about Kai, the Gathering, and the Brotherhood reopening their chapter. Remy tapped the side of his head. Yeah, he does know a lot about our kind, he said in agreement with her. So, I guess we're going to Dark Sepulchre. The last time Anastasia stepped foot inside Lambert's club, Dark Sepulchre, she'd saved Veronica from Brandy and Branda. The place catered to both vampires and demon, and somehow Lambert managed to keep both species in line and content right under his own roof. A Lugat scent carried by the wind caught Anastasia's attention. It rushed into her nostrils, and soon Remy picked up on it. We're not alone. Her body grew tense, and she lowered her voice. Her keen eyesight didn't pick up on anyone around them. Other various scents came to her. The sick and dying in the hospital, strong cologne, the greasy smell of rotting French fries in the garbage can nearby. She felt her fangs slowly retreat from underneath the comfort of her gum. Her upper teeth rasped against her lower ones, and she waited. Somewhere near them, a Lugat lurked. The thought drew quickly, but not as quick as the Lugat who appeared. The demon launched himself from a row of waist-tall bushes behind Anastasia and Remy. Feeling the push of wind from behind her, Anastasia moved to the side, watching the long brown trench coat that the Lugat wore skim the side of her face. He landed on his feet and spun around, again with his coat blocking her view. She felt a strong force against her face, and she fell back, realizing that her cheek had just met the bottom of his steel-toe boots. Remy stepped back, eyeing the tall, muscular male who eyed him back. He wore a dingy white t-shirt and dirtied blue jeans. In his left hand, he carried what looked like a makeshift stake, its edge sharpened to a fine point. Anastasia eyed his uncanny appearance. Lugat Diman preferred stirring in the thoughts of their victims, and they weren't known for being strong in a fight unless pushed. She concluded that somehow she herself had pushed this one too hard. I guess that squirrel blood is going to come in handy after all. Remy's stark comment didn't faze her. She jumped to her feet, somewhat startled. It had been too long since a demon got the first hit on her. You don't want this confrontation. The male remained quiet and launched at her again with the stake pointed directly at her chest. She easily caught his wrist and she flipped him over onto his back. He tried to kick again, but her foot met his neck instantly. She pressed down slowly, watching him wither and snarl until she heard a large crack exploding from his neck. She grabbed his stake, raised it, and embedded it in his chest, striking his heart. His body arched and his eyes protruded from their sockets. His body convulsed for a few seconds more until it began to disintegrate, drying itself out until nothing remained but a pile of blood and dust. Anastasia and Remy stood over the remains. Note to self. He picked up the stake. Next time, find you a bigger squirrel. Nah, screw that. I'll find you a dog or a damn cow. She searched the surrounding area, finding a ripped cardboard box. With her foot, she began to sweep the remains onto it. When she finished, she carried the cardboard box to the nearest dumpster. Now, that's the Anastasia I know. He stood off to the side and clapped gleefully. She tossed the cardboard box into the dumpster. Were you able to read his thoughts? She slammed the lid shut. You killed him too quickly for me to read him, he replied. But I did pick up on one thing, though. She wiped her hands on her pants and she turned. What? Revenge, he calmly replied. For Kai.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/Isayan Morrison.